Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
Good morning. John, in your Bibles, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 16 and 17 as we launch this brand new sermon series. And we're going to look at these verses, then we'll look at some side and ancillary verses as we enter into more of a topical series that we feel like will propel us into Thanksgiving and the beginning part of Christmas season as we get ready for Christmas at the Hills. We just got done with the book of Galatians. If you studied that with us, thank you so much. That will be kind of a regular practice as we'll every once in a while jump back to a book of the Bible and study many books together. And then in between, we'll hit some topical series. And we're excited about this series, Giving Back. In this series, we want to unpack what it looks like for us to give back to the one who's given us everything. That we have been blessed. Right? We've been blessed indeed, but that in that we have been blessed to in turn be a blessing. We have been given to so we can give back. And so look at John 1 and look at verse 16. It says, from his abundance, if you're in the habit of marking things, circle that, underline that. We're going to get back to the abundance part. It says, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, and we've talked about the law some, again, in the book of Galatians. The law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness, it didn't come through the law. God's unfailing love and faithfulness didn't come through any man. It didn't come through Moses. It didn't come from Pastor Brett. But God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. We have been blessed. We must understand what it means to give back. I heard recently a story about a phone conversation that a couple of friends had. They hadn't talked to each other in quite some time, and so one guy called up the other and said, "What's up, dude?" I said, "Dude, I don't feel so good." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm just depressed." "Really? Well, that stinks." He goes, "Yeah, I'm just depressed. I'm in a dark place. I'm just incredibly down in the dumps." And he said, well, what are you so down about, buddy?" And he said, "Well, a couple weeks ago," he said, "I got my paycheck from work, and there was this unexpected $1,000 bonus on it." And friend was like, "Okay, and?" He's like, what are you down about? You got a $1,000 bonus at work." He said, "Well, that was a couple weeks ago." But then he said, "Last week I go out to my mailbox, and I guess I had some long-lost relative I didn't know about, because I go out to my mailbox, I open it, and there's this check, and it's made out to me, and it's this portion of an inheritance for 50 grand. He's like, "50 grand? You mean 50,000? He's like, yeah, 50,000. He said, "Dude, I am lost. You're going to have to back up. You're telling me you're down. You're telling me you're depressed. He said, "2 weeks ago, you get an extra $1,000 on your paycheck, and then this past week, you get a $50,000 inheritance you didn't know you had coming. What are you so depressed about?" He said, "Well, this week, I hadn't got nothing." Look, we can be that way sometimes. Maybe that to that extent, but I had a seminary professor that used to put it like this, and he said that we are spoiled Americans, all right? We can definitely forget how blessed we are. And our text today and these other verses we're going to look at tell us this. First of all, that God owns it all, right? But then he graciously gives to us blessing after blessing. He piles one blessing on top of another, or to really more correctly understand the text, it's not really a piling of one upon another, but it's a replenishing. Like as soon as we kind of forget about one, here comes another one. As soon as one seems like, well, maybe this blessing isn't really here like it was, then he brings another blessing in. It's blessing after blessing. He just keeps on replenishing the store of blessings on our life. Now, I think around this time of the year, we're a little bit more keenly aware of it. You know, Thanksgiving. And so we're like, oh, we're supposed to give thanks. And so we go around the table and we talk about what we're thankful for. And then maybe the same thing at Christmas. And we give gifts to others. And we think about the great gift that was given to us. But here's what I want to think about. How awesome would it be, church, if we actually realize this day in and day out? How blessed we truly are. Because I feel that one of the traps that we can easily fall into as Americans or otherwise is taking the blessings of God for granted. Like sometimes we assume we have the right to blessings. That we somehow naturally assume that it's our right to have health, to be healthy. This is not a right. But we think that it's our right to have a certain amount of provision, all right? So some food and some shelter, we have a right to that. We have a right to security. We're seeing that it's not so true. Or even a right to freedom. And we can forget sometimes that so many in our world are struggling just to survive. Like we get used to some of these blessings, but when you start thinking, man, just even in our city, but then when you go nationwide, but especially globally, so many are struggling in ways that we can't even imagine. Let me try to put some of this in perspective for us this morning. If you have food in your refrigerator, now, it may not be great food, all right? Maybe leftovers. Maybe some leftovers that need to be thrown into the garbage disposal. Notice I said that you actually have a garbage disposal, okay? But it may, you know, maybe your refrigerator needs some Arm & Hammer baking soda in it to make it smell a little bit better. But there's food in it. You have a refrigerator. There's food in your refrigerator. You have a closet full of clothes. Not maybe as stylish as your just kidding, all right? But you have a closet full of clothes. You got a decent roof over your head. Just if those things are true, you've got some food in your belly, you got a place to sleep at night, and you got some clothes to wear. Look at this. You are richer than 75% of the people that live in this world. Just that. You're in the top 25% just with those things alone. And if you've never experienced starvation, you're ahead of billions of people. I'm sorry, millions, all right? We're going to get to the billions in a minute. But just even starvation, there's 800 million people in the world today that are starving. That's 1 in 9. 1 in 9 individuals in our population don't have enough food to eat. I got ahead of myself with the billions because just by attending a worship service like this today, without the threat of arrest, without the threat of persecution, that's where we're ahead of about 2 billion people on the planet, where it's illegal to meet like this. And sometimes, you know, the temperature may not just be right, or we wish we sang that song, but just the fact that we are allowed by law to come in here and gather and worship Jesus unashamedly and unabashedly, we are blessed this morning. And it's easy for us to think, well, I've earned that, or I deserve that. But the Word of God says that everything we have is a gift from God. So that means whatever you have because there is a good and gracious God. Look again at verse 16 of John 1. From his abundance, he's the one that provides the blessing. From his abundance, we've all received one gracious blessing after another. But we think we deserve it maybe sometimes. Even some of you in here this morning may be thinking, well, Brett, I get what you're saying, but I've worked for what I have. Like, some people may have just inherited it, and some people, you know, may have just got it handed to them, but I work, man. It's blood, sweat, and tears. I've worked for the blessings that I have. But hold up a sec. Where'd you get that health to be able to go to work? Where'd you get that ability Where'd you get that talent? Where'd you get that drive? Where'd you get that strength to work in the first place? It's all a gift from God. Robert Louis Stevenson, the great poet, novelist, some of you read the book Treasure Island. He grew up in a very strong Christian home. Mom and dad were believers. We're not sure whether or not Stevenson ever actually got saved. He became estranged from his parents, but there was a thread sometimes that would go through his writing, although sometimes he'd say things that would show you that this famous novelist wasn't a Christian, but some of his quotes are incredible, and I love this one. Here's what Robert Louis Stevenson said. Something from his parents must have poured into his heart, because he said, "There's really nothing in this universe but God's grace." This is a simple but profound statement. There is nothing in this universe but God's grace. He said, we walk upon it. It's his grace. We breathe it, take another breath. That's God's grace. He said, we live by it, we die by it. And the great poet was so right, because listen to me this morning, if it weren't for the grace of God, our lives would fall apart. Emotionally, physically, our families would fall apart. This city that we love, that we live in, called Las Vegas, and I'm a proud Las Vegan and a proud Nevadan, all right, after being here almost 5 years, I think it is. But I'm going to tell you, there are some things about our city, if I could just be honest, and I hope you would agree, that God may not always be like super pleased with. Look, if it weren't for the grace of God, that folks can operate even one more second is simply because God gives us grace. He gives us time. He lovingly wants to continue to draw people to himself. He's not done yet. But let me tell you this. If God wanted to, if it weren't for his grace, this city would fade into the abyss just like that. It's all God's grace. Stevenson was right. This whole world would stop spinning on its axis and explode. It's all held together by God's grace. So here's what I'm saying. No matter what kind of negatives that we may be dealing with this morning as individuals, know this, we have been truly blessed. All this said, I want to give you three thoughts this morning in regards to God's blessings on our lives and in light of those blessings, all right? As we reflect upon these blessings, what would it look like for us to really give back? And so let me give you some things here. First of all, as we think about how God has blessed us, we need to remember God's blessings. Number one, remember God. Now I'm talking here about acknowledging, thanking God for what he has already done for us, for what we already have. Look at 1 Timothy 6:6. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. What Paul is saying here, like some of us, we want the next thing and we wish we could make a little bit more money and we wish we were in a different tax bracket. But Paul is saying true wealth is when we are content with what we have. We're content with that car in the garage. If it was a different one, great. But if it never a different one, if it just gets me from point A to point B, I'm content with that. I'm content with even some of the mistakes that I've made. I want to ask forgiveness. I want to move on, but I can't change the past right now. I want to say, God, I am content with where you have me. That's where great wealth is found. Just remembering what God has already done. Paul is saying to Timothy in that verse that we ought to have this kind of perpetual attitude of gratitude where we are constantly, not just at Thanksgiving, all right, but constantly thinking, remembering, taking time to stop, pause, and acknowledge how good God's been to us. I'm talking about just the simple things, the little things in life. Getting up in the morning, right? I know you might have aches and pains, but just thank God for ibuprofen. I don't know, but no, getting up in the morning and thanking God just for another day that you can live and breathe. Thank God that you're alive. Jumping in the shower and saying, thank you, God, for hot water. Seems like a little thing until that day that you think you're jumping into hot water and you didn't realize that the hot water heater is out and you're jumping into freezing cold water, right? You're a lot more thankful for hot water. Just having breakfast in the morning and taking time to say, thank God for bacon. Man, that's good right there. Let's take a moment to pause. Getting dressed, thank you, God, that I have clothes to put on. Getting in my car, driving to work. Thank you, God, that I have a job. Hey, there's some in here that don't. that I have a place to work. I may need a raise, but I thank you for the job. I thank you that I can work and help support my family. Remembering God's blessings is about just stopping to take time to celebrate. And yes, I said celebrate. To do a little Baptist dance about how awesome God has been. If you're really skilled, you can do a Pentecostal dance. It really doesn't matter to me, all right? But just take time to celebrate the awesome things that we already have because of God's blessing. That he ought to be the object of our gratitude because, as we've already established, everything that we have in life is because of God's grace. And while we're taking time to think about what God has done for us, and while we're taking time to remember God's grace, let me encourage you guys to remember this. That God's grace, yes, is free, but it is by no means cheap. Grace is free. Doesn't mean it was cheap. Doesn't mean it was inexpensive. It cost God, in a sense, his only son. It cost Jesus Christ his very life as he gave it up for us. So sometimes we can think about grace and just this thing that, oh man, awesome, and it comes, and yes, it is free, and yes, it is amazing, but it's by no means cheap. Look at Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Can I back up and read that one more time? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And this is so cool because this verse is asking us, if God was willing to not even hold back his only son, don't you think that he is able and willing to bless you, to continue to meet your needs as one of his children? I mean, if he didn't say, hold up, I'm not going to give my son, do you think he's going to say, hold up, I'm not going to meet this need? So we ought to remember God's blessings. Number two, we ought to rely on God's blessings. And when I say rely, I'm talking about depending. So remembering is acknowledging what he's already done. Relying is saying, I got faith, he's going to keep doing it, all right? So I'm relying, I'm depending on his blessings in the future. I'm trusting that he's going to keep his promises. This is faith. God is pleased when we exercise faith. Look at Hebrews 11:6. In fact, without faith, without trust, without reliance, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, pleasing God is not really about going to church. Now, that's obedience, and God delights when we are obedient, but that's not really what pleasing is. It's about being a pretty good person. So I go to church, and, you know, I say God bless you when someone sneezes, and this is great, okay? I'm a pretty nice person, but God is glorified, and God is pleased when we have faith that we rely and that we trust that he is all we need. Here's what God delights in. When we say, I have no idea how to handle this problem, but God, I trust that you do. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you say, I have no idea how all this is going to turn out? In fact, to me, it seems like there's no way that it could turn out to be good for anybody. But I'm going to put it in your hands, God. The death of a loved one, the sickness of a child, financial hardship, an unspeakable tragedy, something that you wouldn't tell anybody but your spouse and maybe Jesus, but you say, God, I am trusting in you. My faith and trust is in you. We believe and God moves. He blesses faith. You can't come to God without faith, and you can't be blessed with God in the ways that he wants to bless you unless you believe that he rewards you. This is what Hebrews says. Look at Matthew 9:29. Jesus makes this incredible statement. He says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, it will be done. Let it be done to you. Now, there are some theologically that get off on this and get this in the wrong way, all right? They want to preach this name it and claim it theology. They want to treat God like he's a genie in a bottle. right? So they want to just be able to go to God and just kind of rub the bottle, and God pops out, and we get three magic wishes, and they say, man, the only reason you don't have that brand new, you know, Mercedes or jet is because you haven't said, God, give me that jet, all right? It's called name it and claim it theology. I'm not preaching that when I preach this verse, all right? Number one, I just read a verse out of the Word of God, so we're good so far. And what did Jesus say? He said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. See, a name it and claim it theology says this. Watch me. It says, if it is to be, it's up to me. If it is to be, it's up to me. The only reason I don't have something, the only reason I'm not experiencing some blessing, because I hadn't named it. I hadn't claimed it. But what this verse is saying, if it is to be, it's up to God. But check this out. Study it out. Every single time in Scripture somebody did receive a miracle, it's because they first believed. It's because they first exercised faith. Look at what the great missionary William Carey said. In fact, he's sometimes called the father of modern missions. He said this, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Now, this is a biblical model of name it and claim it theology, right? Is that yes? Hey, we got a part in the fact that God doesn't want us to just spend our lives in our mom's basement playing video games. It's okay, all right? If you live in your mom's basement, I'm not mad at you, all right? But what I'm saying is that we go out and we work and we invest. But God says the bottom line is the blessing comes from Him. Yes, we attempt great things for God, but the key is expecting great things from God. If it is to be, it's up to God. I say in faith, God, you can do it. And then He in turn blesses. According to your faith, let it be done unto you. William Carey, in saying that, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. He's saying what I've learned, and that's this, that faith comes before the fantastic. We just want the fantastic. We just want the blessing. We just want the next great thing. We want God to do something amazing in our church, and we just want to sit back and watch it happen. But God says, I want to see some faith. Faith comes before the fantastic. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And so we give back. We remember God's blessings. We rely on God's blessings. And then we really see this idea of giving back that's going to take us into the next 3 weeks as we return God's blessings. See, God doesn't just bless our lives for our sake. He does it so He can use us to be a blessing to others. We said that we are blessed to be a blessing. We are given to so we can give. God doesn't just bless us so we can feel good. So we can turn around and say, gosh, man, I am blessed. But He wants to make you a blessing to others. This is what we see in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Got it? God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, here it is, you may excel in every good work. So what He's saying is he can make every grace available to you, overflowing, you have everything, so you can use it to bless others, so you can excel in doing good. Paul's saying that God blesses us abundantly so that we can then, in turn, use that abundance to bless others. Now, some of you are thinking, Pastor, that's great. I don't have any abundance, though. I'm glad you're preaching it for so-and-so because I know they got plenty. I feel that way a lot of times in church when I'm sitting with my wife and I'm like, man, I don't need this, but I'm so glad my wife needs this really badly. We think, I don't have abundance. I can't say that. We already established that you're richer than 75% of the world if you got food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a place to sleep at night. Look, the problem is not that we don't have abundance. The problem is we don't create any margin in our lives to be able to bless other people. The question is this, and pray for me because I'm about to stop preaching and go to meddling a little bit, as the Southern preacher said. But the question is, do we need Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime? Hello, I'm coming to your neighborhood, all right? Ask one person, hey, do you have Dish? Do you have DirecTV or Cox? And they said, yes. I'm being a little bit sarcastic. My point is this, is that, hey, look, we probably have more abundance than we think we have, but we have created debt. We have created ways in our time, not just money, but our schedule is so packed that we don't have time to bless the others. See, some of us, and we should bring groceries. We should bring food on Tuesday night. But some of us should get involved in the Helping Hands ministry where we're not just bringing the food, but we're packing it and we're bringing it to those that need it. Now, not everybody can do that. But creating margin in your life to be able to bless others, you do have abundance. See, when you are generous with what you do have, God will trust you with what you don't have. When you're generous with what you already have, then God's like, well, I'll trust you with something you don't have, knowing and hoping that you're going to still be generous with what you do have. It's like this, and so if I could almost picture it figuratively, that I'm in need, and so God said to pray for daily bread. So I get down on my knees, and I just ask God, you know, for my daily provision, that he bless my family, that he'd help me through this certain situation. It's almost like I'm putting my arms out, and I'm saying, God, please give to me. And he's faithful, and he does. And as he gives to me, what he then expects me to do is to go and to give it to my brother here, to give it to my brother here, to give it to my brother here. And watch this, as I get from God and as I give it away, before I can lift my hands back up, he is pouring upon me blessing after blessing. I don't even know, I'm just juggling all this stuff. I have never met someone who is generous with their time, who is generous with their tithe, that said, I am broke, God is not taking care of me, ever. And I've been a pastor for 30 years. And so God gives and we give, and then God gives, and then we give, and then God gives, and then we give, and then God gives, and then we give. We are a channel. We are a conduit of God's grace. Look at Malachi 3:10, because I know some of you the whole time have been saying, he's going to preach on money. So let me give you this verse, and it'll make you feel better. Because really, it's through giving back through our local church. This is the primary way biblically that God has chosen us to bless others. Not the only way, but it is the primary way that God has chosen. He said in Malachi 3:10 to bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse, so that there may be food where? In my house. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows. So see, God gives, we give, and then God gives. He opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing so great until there is no more room to receive it. You see, it's through the local church that tons of people are blessed each week. And if you're a member here, I'm not talking to our guests, all right? But if you're a member here, if you're a regular attender and you tithe or you give regularly through this ministry, you're taking the blessings that God has given you and you're sharing them with others through the ministry of this church. What happens when we do that? Well, our local community is reached out to. We had Fall Festival a few weeks ago on our campus. We don't know exactly how many we had, probably somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 people. I'm telling you, if you were there, people were walking through and it seemed like Disneyland to them. They just had this very content, happy look on their face. They're like, you're blessing us in this way. There's all these games to play and free food and trunks full of candy, and it's all free. Why? Because we love God and we love people, and we've invested to be able to do that. As we invest in missions. Some of you may not know this, but as we are a Southern Baptist church and as we invest yearly in the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, we reach souls across this country and the world with the gospel. Did you know that and this is just to God be the glory, but you guys need to know this to be blessed, but the largest giver as a church in the Southern Baptist Convention in the state of Nevada is Shadow Hills Church to this program of blessing missionaries. Last year alone, we gave over $200,000 as we give to missions around the world and missions in America every single year. You give, it goes out, and so it helps take care of natural disaster, hunger relief, training Christian preachers and workers in our Southern Baptist seminaries, providing for missionaries around the world. Every single nickel that we give, part of it is going to the ends of the earth. This is how God blesses. He gives to us, we give to others, he gives back to us. We plant churches. It's exciting to me. We plant a Liberate church. Hundreds of people have been saved and baptized as a result of that church. They recently became a campus. We planted the downtown campus. hold on, show up next week. We're not done yet. We want to be a church that plants churches. And so we're gearing up to plant another church in Las Vegas. Not a campus, just another church. We want to be a part of sending people out from Shadow Hills Church to reach this city, to reach this world for Jesus. I hope you're on board with that, because that's the vision. It's not about just building this kingdom. It's about building God's kingdom. And the list goes on and on and on. Amen. Yeah. So we give because He gave to us. So it's just like the song says, all right? Oh, how I love Jesus. Let me sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. See, Reagan got most of the talent, but I got a little bit of it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Now, hold up. We love Him. We give back to Him. Why? Because He first loved me. So He gives, we give back. And it's not done, because as we say in the South, He's fixing to give some more. But that's cool, because I'm fixing to get back again. Hey, we got a great 3 more weeks of this series, and then Christmas at the Hills, so we got a lot to praise God about. Let's stand together. I want to pray over us. If you're standing, if you bow your heads, and know that we have some pastors and leaders that are right up front. So if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that you know Jesus, listen to me. I'm done preaching, but I'm not quite done. I want everyone to listen to the sound of my voice. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die that you would go to heaven because you don't know that you started a spiritual journey with Jesus, this is a place where you can do that. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. But just when we start singing, you slip out and you meet one of these people at the end of the aisles. You know, I said this last week, and a few people came forward, one of our services, one of our deacons took them to the back, and they all, after a conversation, received Jesus as their personal Savior. That same deacon was able to go to a hospital later in the week and lead folks to Christ. This is a decision that people are making every week at Shadow Hills. We have multiple services, so we don't get to kind of get in on it every single time, but this is a place where people are coming to know Jesus. What about you today? Is God calling you to come? Is God calling you to come and find out about baptism, to find out about how you can join our church? Maybe God is just saying, He's telling you, I just need somebody to pray for me today. That's what these folks are here for. God bless our time of response. We will sing to you. You are good, because yes, you are good. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with His best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.